flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop joining us right now as the head coach of your Washington Wizards. He's powered by Verizon. It's Coach Brian Keefe. Hey, Coach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hey, before we get started, I just, on behalf of the Wizards organization, I just want to give thoughts and prayers out to all the people affected and families affected by the plane crash here in the last couple of days. Really, obviously, a tough moment for this city and people around the country, around the world, unfortunately, but just wanted to put that out there. We're obviously, those people are in our hearts and minds, but appreciate you guys having me on.
No, thanks for coming on, Coach.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
As we turn to the performance on the court, maybe we should apologize because the four of us went to a game together and you guys won.
We did.
But we haven't been back.
We're the good luck charm.
We need to go together back since the Charlotte Hornets game. So maybe we should all go back. And
it was December 26th, day after Christmas, Coach.
Yeah, you guys should be coming more. We should have told me this. I would have had you guys floor seats for the rest of the year.
Yeah, floor seats.
I'm down.
And or the Hennessy Loft just blocked off. Just as it says reserved for the Junks.
No, I think when you go to those floor seats, because I've been there a few times, you get amazing food too.
I've never sat on the floor. I don't know.
Yeah,
this.
Like the Caesar's Lounge. They got like a carving station for you.
I see how you guys are operating, what you need. We'll make sure you guys are
taken
care of.
Thank you.
Case has never touched the wood.
I haven't. But I'm not as snobby as EB. He has to have the wood.
I like to be on the wood.
The Hennessy Lofts are great for me. But look, I would take a floor seat if I get one.
All right, you know what? I'm going to make a pact. I'm coming back. I'm going to bring the good mojo.
So, Coach, what's it like? You guys have lost 16 in a row. Okay, there's no getting around it. We'd love to like talk like positive vibes. As a head coach of a team in this situation, and we knew it was going to be a tough situation. You guys are rebuilding. You have a lot of young players, and there's definitely some positives to talk about with the young players. What's it like for you, day in and day out?
You know, it's we're not going to run from where we are or where we are right now. I talked about this yesterday, but you know, you accept the challenge and this is some of these moments where you dig in and you show your resiliency, you know, for our whole group. And, you know, I'm a part of that. I'm the leader of the guys on the court. But one thing is, I know, is we're all in this together, the whole organization. The players, all of us are committed to getting better every day. And, you know, we're not running from where we are. We got to dig in and get better. So it's not where we want to be, but I believe that we're planting the seeds and doing the things that are going to lead us to be sustainable. And that I feel good about. But we're never going to run and hide from what we are right now.
Is the challenge a lot tougher than you thought it was going to be before the season started?
No, I've been in these situations before. I've done this before with different teams. I embrace where the challenge of all of it. And the one thing that's great is I have a great group of guys on the team who are committed and want to get better. And we are improving in some ways that people won't see at times, and I can see that. And sometimes when you go through these situations, you can develop in a grit and resiliency that's going to carry over. You just sometimes don't realize it. And I believe in the ethic, work ethic, and the character of this group that we're going to push through this.
Coach Keefe, have you ever had the challenge of trying to coach 7 guys on the roster who are 22 or younger? What is that like with all the youth that obviously has been brought onto this roster over the past 2 or 3 seasons?
Yeah, I have. And those guys are a joy. First of all, they're guys who love to work. They have great work ethic. They love to be in the gym. So, like, those guys have been tremendous. They're obviously learning and growing and going through the fire of the NBA, which is a tough, tough task. But they haven't backed down from anything. They've been challenged by us or the team or the opponents. So I like where those guys are at and like where some of those guys are going. And they're developing, I think, the habits necessary to be consistent in the league, which is what everybody is aiming for. So I've enjoyed those guys. We got great guys, as I said before, and I love their work ethic and what they're about.
All right, so if you're a Wizards fan, we're talking to the head coach, Brian Keefe. I think there are some reasons for optimism. Let's start, number one, with Alex Saar. We met him before the season. Seems like a great kid, and he's one of 3 guys that make the Rising Stars team for the All-Star game. But Saar, of course, is the headliner, the second pick. Talk about his development and what you think he can be in the coming years.
Yeah, he's been tremendous. Obviously, he's gotten better each month, each week. He's a fast learner. And you're starting to see his impact on the game. We all see the defensive impact, the protecting the rim, the shot blocking, but it's also his ability to play on the perimeter, guard small guys. And I think offensively what you've been seeing is a guy who we can play through on offense in terms of his passing ability, his ability to put the ball on the floor. Obviously, the shooting has improved. So I think you're starting to see layers of his game that we're still learning, to be honest, because he is so young. But I think that he's got a very bright future because of the stuff I talked about earlier. The work ethic, the time in the gym, his care for the game, the way he takes care of himself. Those things bode well for a guy with his talent ability, but it's really his mental makeup that I think, you know, we're never going to put a ceiling on any of these guys. I'm not going to project how high, because I think he could go as high as he wants as we kind of develop. But we're learning his game, and I think we're going to see more and more as we grow up throughout the rest of the year.
Now, he got hurt in the Dallas game, right? He hurt his ankle, and he hadn't played since. When do you expect him back?
Hopefully not too long. Don't have a timeline on it yet, but he is doing. He is progressing.
Did he just roll it?
Yeah, he stepped on someone's foot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So painful.
Yeah, that's hard, especially for a big guy.
All right, so EB mentioned this on the show earlier. Bub Carrington's a guy, very young too, who shows a lot of promise. It seems like you moved him from the starting lineup, out of the starting lineup? Are you just trying to shake things up? What do you see from Bub?
Bub's been great. Obviously, I started him from day one. And like you said, very young. I think he's one of the youngest guys in the draft, maybe. Mm-hmm. And one thing about Bub is he's got fearlessness about him. And he showed that from the first game when we played Boston. He went right at those guys who were obviously some great players on that team. He's got great size. But he helps us get organized, pushes the pace. He's a great rebounder, playmaker for his size. The lineup changes, just looking at different combinations. Obviously, we put Keyshawn George in, I'm sure we'll talk about in a second, but just looking for different combinations, different things. Bud's still playing about the same minutes, but he's been tremendous. Obviously, another guy who made the rookie sophomore game, the Rising Stars game, I guess they call it now. Mm-hmm.
What's the magic number you guys want to see as a team in terms of 3-point field goal percentage from your guys?
Attempts, you know, we kind of aim to take around that 40 mark. When we're playing well and the ball's moving, which we feel like that's when you guys were at some of the, you were, I guess, at that last mm-hmm. game. When we're playing well, the ball's really moving. We're getting in the paint and we're kicking out to our shooters. So the number's in that 40 range. I think that's a good number for us. Sometimes it goes a little bit above that, you know, in the 45 range, but we want to get shots at the rim. We want to play in transition. That starts with our defense, but if we can stay in that 40 range and the way the NBA's played nowadays, I think that's a good number for us.
Now, what I really meant, though, was individually from individual players, like, say, a Bob Carrington or Alex Saar or Bilal Coulibaly, I meant...
What's the magic percentage?
Yeah, what's the magic percentage you want from those guys firing threes?
Oh, shooting percentage?
Yeah.
You know, I think those guys have been, as you can... One thing you know in the league, when first guys come in, they can be a little bit inconsistent with the shooting, getting used to the size and length. And I've coached guys who are, you know, some of the greatest guys ever, and they did not shoot great mm-hmm. in their first couple of years in the league. Some of that's just getting used to the NBA game, all the stuff that comes with that. You know, the goal for anybody is if you can be above 35%. You know, Alex shot 45 in the month of December, so, you know, that was a good number. Obviously, that's probably higher than we all shoot overall for the year, but anything 35 and above, eventually you like to get those guys up, eventually in the next year or two, up to 37, 38. And if you can get to 40, that would be terrific.
Oh, yeah. You're a Hall of Famer. All right, so let me ask you this. What's been the dynamic with some of the vets? And who knows how long some of these guys are going to be here. But, you know, the Pools and the Kuzmas, and I know Brogdon's had injuries with the foot and the thumb. And
Valanciunas.
Yeah, Valanciunas. What's been the dynamic with those guys, with the younger guys like Alex?
Those guys have been great. Yeah. First of all, they're ultra professionals. You know, we had Jordan and Kyle already on the team, and those guys have been tremendous since they've been here in terms of leadership and how they work and how they play and the examples. And then Malcolm and Jonas come in, and, you know, those guys are the ultimate professionals. Jonas shows up every day. He's got a long streak of playing games and how he prepares himself to do that. And Malcolm's been a tremendous asset. I know he's had a few injuries, but the stuff that he does behind the scenes mentoring guys has been unbelievable. So, like, those guys have been great. Really have enjoyed having adding those two, and then Jordan and Kyle, which we already have had them before, have been terrific too.
Coach, do those vets have their head on a swivel with the NBA trade deadline roughly a week away? I believe it's February 6th. Or is it just business as usual trying to get out of this losing streak you guys are in?
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is part of the NBA, and that's stuff that, for us, we just focus on the process and, you know, compartmentalize all that stuff and focus on the task at hand. We all realize that stuff is out there, and that's part of, you know, what makes the NBA interesting. We get that. And that's part of what makes this a big business. But for our job is to prepare the same way every day, get ourselves ready to play, because we got to go perform almost every other day. So we're locked into that. That stuff will always take care of itself. We have trust in, obviously, our management and ownership on what we're doing with that type of stuff. But, you know, for the players and the coaches, we're in there every day trying to get better.
Coach Keefe, I'm curious. You kind of alluded to guys you've coached in the past who maybe didn't shoot the ball great from beyond the arc in their first couple seasons, but then progressed and got better. Can you give me a couple of examples of the guys you coached there? Because I'll admit it, I'm a Bilal Coulibaly skeptic. I think he's a fine player, and he can play really good defense and at times score. But I look at that 3-point percentage, and I'm like, man, he shouldn't be taking threes.
No, understandable from your guys' perspective, but even a guy like Kevin Durant, I think, shot 29% from the 3-point line as a rookie. So, like, that's not abnormal for guys when they first start in the league. And
okay,
you know, we're putting Bilal in a position to be an initiator, a ball handler, and we're seeing him grow developmentally a lot in that area this year, attacking the rim, putting pressure on the rim, and then obviously we give him the best defensive assignment every day. Every game. So the shooting stuff, that stuff, I believe, comes over time. Those things can be worked out as they progress in their career. And the good thing is those guys have great work ethics that are working on that stuff daily. So I believe in the work, and I see that stuff. You guys don't get to see that. I see that stuff every day, and I believe that stuff will happen
as we progress, as we get better over time.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it on KD. Just looked it up. 28.8% his rookie season. Now, his second season jumped to 42%.
Wow.
Yeah, I was there for both years, so I know.
He knows it.
All right, Coach Keefe, good stuff. That's Brian Keefe, Wizards head coach, powered by Verizon. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you. I got tickets for you at the next home game.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the men. Actually, the truth is,
get you guys on the road. We'll get you a flight out to Minnesota.
Yeah. So, Coach, we delivered a win with all four of us, but I believe Cakes has been to two games this year. He's 2-0.
I am your ultimate good luck charm.
Who was it, Charlotte?
Forget about you. We'll take Case only. You guys are out.
Yeah, private jet. Let's go.
Who'd you see? You saw Charlotte
and who?
And
Chicago?
The Nuggets.
And you beat the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on, I'm your guy.
Thank you, coach.
Thanks, guys.
And I'm a big Bilal stan too.
He's kind
of
joking.
Many of us.
He's kind of joking, but I bet you he would do it because you know those guys are superstitious.
Oh no, he probably would do.
We're 6-41.
What's that T-Wolves game, Zabby? I might be hitting wrong with the wind.
You could be like Jerry Glanville's Elvis.
I'll be the team mascot. Yeah. I'll show up G-Wiz right on the plane.
Isn't it tomorrow?
Cakes has delivered a third of their wins.
Yeah, I already got a message from Wizards PR. It said, "See you guys February 10th. No excuses."
Okay.
Oh, here's my excuse. It's got to be on the wood.
I think they know.
I think that's she was listening.
Yeah. The sillies.
Yeah,
like the David Falk
like
sillies.
Like 10 seats. Yeah. Like right.
Think about this.
Yeah. Ted's
think about
give
this.
Up a seat for you.
Yeah. They've played almost 50 games.
Yeah.
Cakes has been to two, and he's been to 33% of their wins.
As Valby said, see wins.
By the same
right
token,
here.
The rest of us, we're still undefeated.
It's true.
So, I mean, I can make the argument. I'm also undefeated. He's two
but
for
he's
two.
Been yeah. to 1/3 of their wins.
That's right. All I do is bring dubs. Just dubs.
All I do is win.
Can you imagine if he delivers
what
a third?
What is February 10th? I don't even know if I'm around.
It's a Monday.
I think I'm around.
You might be here.
Don't we have a thing on
that's
a Monday?
On February 11th.
What is? Yeah, we have like
it's a client deal.
Client thing.
Okay. Yeah, we have a schmooze. I could do
February 10th. I'd take my daughter.
Good.
I hope this schmooze is better than the last schmooze where EB and Cakes and me, we were hanging out at a hotel at National Harbor and just talking to ourselves. Like, come out.
Hey, we met a few people.
I felt like that was good. I still got my reads.
Nah, I didn't get any fresh reads out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't get any new
Did
Andres.
Did you show up to that one? Maybe that's
no,
why,
maybe that's why I got no reads. Yeah.
Got no tips.
I'm very disappointed in that. That's an off the record deal here.
Did you ever get a word back?
We can't really talk about it.
Did you ever get a word back?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if I believe it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, we've all had those teases.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, so many teases.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears, touching the Hollywood, the music scene. We'll get into the entertainment page next here on The Junkie.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Cakes, Ole the goalie's going to be on the show today.
Love that. Caps royalty.
Yeah, we haven't
right
talked
there.
To him in a while.
Olaf Kolzig.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to talking to him.
Where's he from?
Ole Kolzig is German.
German. Yeah.
He's from Germany. Played for Germany in the Olympics, I believe, if my memory serves correct.
Yes, yeah, so we'll talk to Ole the goalie. They're doing an Eras Night. It's their third Eras Night where they turn back the clock at a Caps game. So that's coming up February 1st. So Ole's going to join us to talk about that. Comedian Sam Morril's going to join us at 9:25. He's going to be at the Warner Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we'll open up the entertainment page, EB, which is driven by BMW Fairfax.
That's right. Love BMW Fairfax. DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam, general manager. She'll take care of you. I promise. Check out all their inventory at BMWFairfax.com. I was at a light yesterday in the X5, and I was going to turn left, and I guess I didn't inch up enough, okay. And I turned, and I went thump, thump. I hit the like a curb.
I hit the curb.
I hit the curb just turning left.
Yeah.
Because I, you know.
Old man move right there.
And it's just like, oh, my God. I'm telling you, I'm a wheel killer.
You're a rim scraper.
Yeah, I'm a rim slash wheel destroyer. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Curious. You've done that many, many times.
Hey, curious.
I scrape my wheels all the time.
So back when you were a Corvette owner,
yeah,
you used to talk about if you pulled up to a light and there was another Corvette guy, they would give you a thumbs up or a
drive
head
by,
nod.
It's definitely a thing.
Does that happen with the BMW?
No one cares. there is something.
The Corvettes, yeah.
It's definitely a thing. Like Corvette guys or... like motorcycle guys,
yeah,
you know.
No, Corvette owners. I know my, she's deceased now. My mother-in-law's boyfriend had a Corvette, and they'd go to like shows, and I happen to be one of these. Kind of like
I
look
have to
at
pull
other
back
Corvettes.
The Valdez and Drabby go nutty when we don't do the EP. They go nutty.
Why? Like,
you brought up like the story.
Valdez is, well, I know.
Valdez is he goes Rick nutty, today, but he's tired of.
But mostly collating the stories,
JP,
and not doing
like
it.
Crams in a story because or whatever a thank you segment, and it's just it's
bum rushes the EP.
Yeah, it's just never a full
right,
segment.
We don't have to go on to it.
By the way, Cakes, Ole Kolzig, he's not from Germany. He's from South Africa.
He's born in South Africa.
Okay. German parents, but from South Africa.
By your standard.
But who did he play for in the Olympics?
He did play for Germany.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do German an impromptu, parents. And then we're going to do you got to guess who the artist is.
Impromptu hit or hurt.
Impromptu hit or hurt.
Love it.
Two parts. You got to guess the artist, and then you got to say hit or hurt.
Okay. Well, that's how we originally did hit or hurt, because you don't want to be biased.
Correct.
Because I can be biased.
Right.
Trust me, I can definitely be biased.
New single just released.
New single.
If he said, this is a new one from The Fray, you'd be like, oh, hit.
I might be in.
Yeah.
But if you say it's like...
Is it a popular?
Sounds kind of hurt.
Is she popular?
Super popular.
Very.
I think I know the artist.
It's not Carrie Underwood.
I think it's Alanis Morissette, but I could be. No? It's hurting.
I think it's hurting as well. I'll go Gwen Stefani.
It's no
very
idea.
Hurting.
Lady Gaga.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I think it's a miss.
I'm not a fan.
Now, she can make anything.
Is that a live performance?
Yeah, she debuted her new song because she does have a new album coming out.
Apparently, she needs time.
Well, she needs time to redo the song.
Don't you agree? What do you think?
She's a much better singer than that live.
I would love to hear it gets, how it gets all the magic produced? Dust on it in the post-production studio.
Right.
And studio.
Because it needs some.
Remember, Valdez, though, he thought Beyonce's entire album was like the greatest album
Cowboy
ever.
Carter, it was. It was very good.
I mean, he swears.
It just sounds very unremarkable.
I trust
to me.
His golden ears.
You do?
Sure.
This sounds like, I don't know, if we all went karaokeing and somebody's wife got on stage, yeah. Be like,
she's
that
an amazing
like a,
singer.
I know,
I'm
she's
not
great
critiquing
singer.
The singing, critiquing the music. I don't like
I think
it.
Both.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's off. Like off tune a little bit.
I don't know. The singing's unremarkable to me.
The singing's unremarkable, and the song stinks.
Yeah, that song is.
The song is what I'm obsessed with.
It's particularly bad.
The music.
She's very talented, but this.
All she needs is time to leave it all behind.
This.
Do you agree, Valdez?
It's like, it's not very.
I can tell you want to like it.
No, I'm intrigued.
You're giving it the benefit of the
doubt. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't, like, there's no. There's is it supposed to be a breakup song?
Is that supposed to be country? What is that?
I'm not intrigued by that one bit.
I don't know.
It's
I never want to hear it again.
Not
actually.
Bad romance.
It's not good.
Oh, it's not poker face. It's not paparazzi. Those are smashes.
Are you going to pull up one of the sillies?
I mean, those are so good.
Or no. All right. So apparently Nirvana, and I didn't even know this is a thing, you could still do a Nirvana stage surprise reunion at a benefit concert for the Fires Cakes. So I guess, obviously, everybody without Kurt Cobain, so I guess you had Dave Grohl, you had...
Chris Novoselic.
Chris Novoselic.
Well, that's it. There's a three-piece band.
They don't
that's
do a hologram.
They had a whole rotation.
Tom Brady gets hologrammed on pregame shows.
The holograms are so dumb.
They do They're a so hologram bad. Of Tom Brady? I thought they did holograms of dead people.
Didn't they do some wacky bit where they...
I think they did do a hologram of Brady at some point. They like beamed him in.
You mean in the they make him look like he's in the studio?
Yeah.
And did they try to act like it was him?
They
tried to play it off.
They look over to him and he's not.
No, I think they acknowledged it was a hologram, but
yeah, it just looks that way.
you gotta find that clip for me. I need to see.
You never saw that? You never saw that?
I don't watch those talking losers.
You don't watch the pregame show?
I don't either. When I see them, it makes my brain want to explode. When I see Gronk talking. He just sounds like a meth head, just spouting off, and he'll never stop talking. I want to throw a rock at my TV.
All right, so they had Pat Smear. You forgot him because he would sometimes perform. You don't know Pat Smear is one of the. I think he's a.
His name is Pat Smear.
I thought he was doing a gynecological
reference.
Smear
bit. That's a terrible stage name.
I'm surprised you don't know him because I know who that is.
Oh, like, I know exactly.
I think
who
I've
Pat
heard
Smear.
The name, but I don't know.
Pat
much.
Smear is in.
I think he's been in a bunch of different bands.
Okay. No, Dave Grohl's band. What I'm sorry.
Foo Fighters.
He's in Foo Fighters.
That's a horrible stage name.
All right. So anyway,
what if it's his real name?
He looks like an Indian. He looks like he might be Native American.
He has some sort of ethnicity to him.
Okay.
What's his real name? To say there, you're on Wiki.
George Rutenberg or Ruttenberg.
Pass me your better.
So Katy Perry performed, Dr. Dre performed.
See, Pat Smear's deal is he just stands. He doesn't move. He just stands in place. And he won't move. Like a guitarist go up and down the
stage. He'll just stand in the same spot.
He just stands like this. Yeah. He can play, but...
So you this had is all great. The other this is Dave Grohl's singing their song.
Yeah, Joan Jett was singing. This is Dave Grohl's daughter, Violet, I believe, doing all apologies. I will say the funniest part about the whole Fire Aid performance, the whole 6-hour show, was Red Hot Chili Peppers. They did a performance, and
they're wearing socks on their dongs.
Their guitarist was in Fruit of the Looms on stage.
Was it Flea?
I guess, yeah. He had navy blue undies on stage, just bouncing around at a charity thing for everyone's Pacific Palisade house that went up in flames.
That is a bit.
I'm sure Valdez checked. Is he holding?
Is that?
I couldn't tell.
Is that John Frusciante or is that?
I don't think it was Flea.
Okay,
didn't look like Flea.
Well, you know John Frusciante. You would know him if you saw him.
I guess.
What? Surprise! I'm not
the biggest Chili Peppers fan.
I didn't know
this. It's been
I didn't
documented.
Know Pat Smear's name. I just know he looks like.
Yeah.
What? Where was the that concert?
Oh, what is it? The Kia Forum.
Oh, it was okay.
All right. This I saw this story a couple days ago. I wanted to do it, so I'm glad that Valdez put it in here. Can you imagine? Maybe we talked about it when it was found, but. Some dude was just going through, and I guess it was an art collector, just going through like some like garage sale or something.
Oh, this is gonna upset me. He found some sort of priceless
found
piece
a
of
Van
art.
Gogh.
Oh, he did. Jeez.
And he bought it, I think, for $50.
Okay, what's it worth? Priceless.
Well, I don't know. I think they think it's gonna go for multiple millions.
I think they said it. It's 40. Was it 40? I think it was 40.
I thought it would be more than what I saw.
See,
but it was still a big number.
That is the only thing that would get me to like. A yard sale
to
or a garage
find
sale
a Van
to
Gogh.
Maybe find like oh I found a Rembrandt.
But how would you even know?
I wouldn't
because
that's
obviously
the problem.
They didn't know, and apparently they had to do all this analysis. And I'm not even certain that they're certain it's a Van Gogh. They think it's a Van Gogh. It has his style of brush stroke and everything.
Okay.
He's using the color palette and everything he did. And I think one of the clinchers was they found. I guess Van Gogh was a redhead. and they found a microscopic red hair in the canvas.
Really?
And so that's kind of like a clincher. It makes all the sense. And he's got red hair.
He bought it for $50, and they're saying the painting is $15
million. Oh, jeez.
Imagine.
That's no, the dream. No, but I think the guy that found it sold it, and now a third party is putting it up for auction.
Oh, so the guy who found it sold it for, he didn't sell it for $15 million.
No. But he sold it to like an art dealer who would then now sell it.
Got it.
Or like some sort of third party that's into that
okay,
thing.
Okay, got it.
You know what I mean? And then it was up, the person that bought it was not 100% sure it was a Van Gogh, but gambled that it was a Van Gogh.
Well, that's a good gamble that's paying
off. That's the way I understood it.
But I mean, the only way I would know is if Van Gogh signed his name on the bottom.
Did it say what he got for the when he sold it to the art dealer?
No. Because I don't even know Van Gogh's style.
Like, I need to go to a yard sale in Pasadena and stumble upon Edvard Munch's original Scream painting. Like, I don't think that's going to happen, but I need to stumble upon.
You're going to laugh, but I think Valdez knows who they are. I follow these guys, and there's quite a few of them, but I follow this one couple in particular where they go around to garage sales in Florida, and they buy Scotty Cameron putters that they find.
That's very specific.
But like, especially in Florida, they'll go to retirement communities, and all these old donks are about to die, and they have the garage sales, and they'll see $1,000 Scotty Cameron for $20. I mean, it's crazy.
Like some dude bought a $200. You think $200 for a putter at a yard sale is a lot, but the putter's worth $4K.
Oh. And the guy's got a collection of like a couple hundred Scotty Cameron's.
That's impressive.
And then
I guess
they auction them. They actually sell most of them. They've hit upon
a market.
Yes.
That's smart.
It's really smart too. In Florida, you just go to Florida retirement communities.
Yeah.
And they all have golf carts for sale.
Yeah.
Freaking golf clubs.
Valdez is booking a trip right now.
You know who I'm talking about? There's a really homely couple.
I don't know if I know the couple, but I definitely see some dude that's going around buying like Big Berthas.
Yeah.
Out of a plate against sports.
But he specializes in Scotty Camerons and Bettinardis. That's what he's.
And what? What's the second thing you said?
Does anybody want my nubby Nike clubs?
Do you know a guy?
Those things actually have value.
The slingshots?
Used clubs. There's a market for used clubs.
Yeah.
No, you'd be stunned.
I would be stunned.
You wouldn't think. Like your nubby little Nike slingshot, like wedge.
What
or
about
something?
A Sasquatch driver?
You probably get $50.
Hey, I guarantee you. I guarantee you can get a lot for the Sasquatch because it's discontinued and it's illegal. It was deemed illegal.
It's also deemed butt ugly in one of the ugliest clubs.
Yeah, they're not
in
great
history.
Looking.
The square
not great.
One?
No, I don't have the square one. Oh. We got a different.
You know
variation.
Who didn't have to buy his Scotty Cameron? This guy, because he gave it to me.
Yeah, Scott Cameron gave it to himself.
And you also turned down a dinner at the French Laundry or whatever with the guy that created.
Yeah, Thomas Keller.
Thomas Keller was cooking.
You're a donk.
Yeah, I know. I probably botched that, but I did get a free Scotty Cameron putter because he liked me and he hooked me.
Did he put in your initials?
You haven't sold it yet.
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't.
You shocked
it.
You haven't sold that.
Oh, that thing could be sold for a lot.
You should sell that.
Well, I mean, I need a putter.
Just get a regular putter. You
go to Golfdom.
Yeah, Golfdom's got a million putters.
It's not going to have my initials
put
on it from Scotty.
Put that one on Scotty. eBay and get 5K.
You have a lurch size putter where it's a broom style like Adam Scott and
no,
it comes up to your waist.
No,
up to your knees.
I used to have one of those. It was Odysseys, but I don't have it anymore.
You used to have a counterbalance.
Odyssey, who can tell?
Yeah. Remember coming up at 9 o'clock?
They're changing the name again. Yeah.
Only the goalie joins us at 9 o'clock from the Washington Capitals. Don't go anywhere. All right, told you at the top of the show that we give you a chance to win tickets to go see the Globetrotters throughout the program. We're going to give away our third pair right now. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters March 7th at Eagle Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, you can go visit thefandc.com/events. So a little Junkies Blitz now brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. You know, we spent a little time yesterday, I believe it was, talking about how the Commanders have some wanted coaches around the league.
Mm-hmm.
David Blau, who's their assistant quarterback's coach, apparently drawing interest from three teams, Tavita Pritchard, being wooed or interviewed by the Jaguars. Now it appears the Texans, they're going to interview The Commander's assistant head coach. Who's that, Cakes?
Oh, that would be Brian Johnson. Yes. He moonlights as a singer for AC/DC. He's very busy, that guy.
We had a sick staff when you think about it.
His title,
great staff.
His title,
former head coaches. I mean, a lot of experience. It was.
His title was assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator.
Wasn't Anthony Lynn getting interest too? Like somebody was sniffing around Anthony Lynn.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he got an interview this cycle.
Johnson was the Eagles' offensive coordinator in 2023. They ranked 7th in points per game that year and 8th in yards per game, but they whacked him.
Yeah.
That's how he ends up here. I guess the Texans.
What was his title again? It was assistant
passing game coordinator.
Okay.
And assistant head coach.
Assistant head coach to get you that extra little bump in pay. I
thought Anthony Lynn was an assistant head coach.
He was the run game.
No, he was a run game coordinator. Yeah,
and running backs coach.
And they didn't throw in an associate head coach on him.
Maybe assistant offensive coordinator or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was running backs coach. I just think he was running.
His title, according to Wiki, is run game coordinator and running backs coach.
Okay.
For the Commanders.
Yeah.
And he had an interview with the Cowboys for an offensive position there.
Yeah. So, I think Brian Johnson was the only assistant head coach.
We'll see how it all shakes out for the Washington Commanders, but. A lot of their coaches may be poached, but they're keeping Cliff Kingsbury, which is the big one. David Shaw is a guy whose name always gets thrown about for jobs. Looks like the ex-Stanford coach landed a job in Detroit where they need coaches because that's a staff that has been ravaged. He'll be the new pass game coordinator for the Detroit Lions. They hired a new OC, John Morton.
So he hadn't coached in a couple of years.
Last coached at Stanford in 2022.
Yeah, he was at Stanford for a long time.
How big of a hit do you think Johnson, what happened in Detroit, is going to be for the Lions? Do you knock them down as being one of the favorites in the NFC? They lost both their OC and their DC.
I think they're going to be one of the favorites just based on their talent. But will they be as explosive? That's a great question.
Don't have Ben Johnson calling plays anymore. Don't have Aaron Glenn running the defense anymore.
I think as long as they have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs,
I mean, they got players.
They're going to be pretty good.
And Jameson Williams. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They're pretty loaded on offense.
So the Eagles had an injury this season to one of their stars on defense, Brandon Graham. I think he tore his triceps. Surprisingly, they have now made him eligible to return for the Super Bowl. People believed it was a season-ending triceps tear during week 12, but he's going to be eligible to play. The practice window's opened up. That doesn't mean he will play, but that'd be a big addition for them. Just depth. You know, everybody thinks of their defensive line.
I mean,
first,
veteran.
You think about Jalen Carter, and then, you know, you probably think about Jordan Davis.
Yeah, he's
a
veteran.
And then you might think of some of their outside guys.
Look, Jonathan Allen got hurt. We thought he was going to be out for the entire year, and he was back. So sometimes these guys can get back, you know, based on their rehab. But that would be interesting if he could play.
Jason's talked about how a lot of these teams need new quarterbacks. And we don't really go through teams like the Rams, who have a veteran quarterback in Matthew Stafford. He has said he will return next year. But teams like – he's 37. Teams like the Rams are going to need to invest in a young quarterback as well.
There's a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks. I mean, maybe there's, you know, teams that'll pluck a Kirk Cousins or, you know, who knows what Aaron Rodgers is going to do or, you know, Darnold. So some of those teams can fill those holes with veterans. But, I mean, there's a handful of teams that certainly need a quarterback. If they don't need a quarterback next year, they need one to be groomed.
And you never feel like the Rams are going to bottom out with Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, are they ever going to be in a position to pick like top five? And they deal away a lot of their draft picks. That's been their MO over the years. So it's going to be tough to find that replacement.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, whenever that happens.
At the end of the year when everybody was giving Jaden Daniels his flowers, as they say, you know, you'd hear these shows and experts say, top five quarterbacks. Is Jaden Daniels a top five quarterback right now? And the first four are kind of etched in stone in the NFL right now. It's Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Burrow. That's kind of like everybody says those are the top four quarterbacks. But some of those people had Stafford number five. Do you look at them?
Oh, I'd much. I mean,
that
if you're starting a team today,
you think I'm that highly?
You're asking me who I'd rather
have as
quarterback?
Is he a top five quarterback?
Stafford? I think Stafford, at the height of his powers, might have flirted with that, but I don't think he's that at this point. Not at 37.
He was fringe, but
he's got a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
He might be.
I don't think he has any All Pros, so he's never been. Now he's been in the era of Tom Brady and really good quarterbacks for most of his career. So he's never been the best.
I think he'll get in, but I don't think he's a first ballot guy. He's gonna have to wait a while.
He's got 377 touchdowns and almost 60,000 yards, so those will go up. If he's got 400 touchdowns and he's got a Super Bowl, yeah, I'd put him in.
Aaron Glenn is bolstering his staff.
That guy's played forever.
Yeah.
He hired Steve Wilks as his new defensive coordinator, so he'll be running the show for the New York Jets defense.
He's got head coaching experience. I mean, not a lot of it, but he had at least one year as a head coach. I think he was the interim in Carolina for a while, too, correct?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's a good add to his staff.
He was 6-6 in his interim stint with Carolina.
That lets Aaron Glenn be the overseer. Wilks can call the plays on defense. I mean, Glenn's a defensive guy by trade, but now he can be the head coach instead of just worrying about the defense. I like it.
Do the Jets go back after Sam Darnold? Let Aaron Rodgers walk and go back to Sam Darnold, who was a disaster when he was in New York.
The last two games are going to be recency effect, but the last two games are going to make you have doubt about Sam Darnold.
Isn't there scar tissue there from Darnold, too? Do you think he'd want to go back and play in New York?
I don't know.
He might be interested in redemption, and he's not going to have a lot of options. So, yeah.
I would have doubt on two fronts.
Yeah.
The last two games, and he was under Kevin O'Connell.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell's not coming with you, and I'm just wondering.
It's true.
Kevin O'Connell made Cousins look fantastic.
Well, he's going to make J.J. McCarthy look fantastic, I would think. Next year,
I'd be scared to invest in Sam Darnold.
He
disproved me this year.
Yeah,
Cakes was right on that one.
He threw 40 interceptions in 3 years with the Jets.
It's 13 plus a year. That's a pretty high number.
Yeah.
He was young then.
Yeah, I mean, he's learning. It's true. And the team wasn't very good, but I don't know. It's an interesting thought because I read something the other day that they may be interested.
We've got comedian Sam Merrill joining us at 9:25. He's going to be at the Warner Theater next Friday. But coming up next, Ole the Goalie, Ole Kolzig, joins us as we talk about the Washington Capitals here on the Junkies.